to his disciples, it looked like total defeat. The Lord Jesus was going to be crucified in just a few short hours. And most churches still today come to the Lord's table with sort of a mourning or a sad contemplation of what took place 2,000 years ago. But you know, it was never intended to be a symbol of defeat, but rather a victory. If you turn in your Bible to Genesis, Genesis chapter 14 and verse 18. Genesis 14 verse 18. You know, Genesis is a marvelous book, because in Genesis you find the beginnings of almost everything. Anything you find anywhere else in the Bible, you can almost for sure go back and find its beginning there in Genesis. And this is a picture, I believe, here of what we today call the Lord's table. Children, notice what happened before we read this verse. Abraham had been advised that his nephew Lot had been taken into captivity, and so he took 318 fellows with him, and he decided he'd go and fight this whole army, you know. And God delivered the whole army into his hands. He won a glorious victory. He got back all of the spoil. And that's a picture of what the Lord Jesus did at Calvary. You know, God gave to him a complete victory. I mean, it wasn't a partial victory. It was a total victory. He actually conquered the enemy, took back everything that he had taken away, and here he is coming back now with all of the spoil, coming back in glorious victory. And who meets him? It says, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. Isn't that amazing? Melchizedek, who is at least a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. I personally think that it was the Lord himself in pre-incarnation. But here is the Lord Jesus Christ meeting him now, and he's going to have a supper for him. And what are the elements? Bread and wine.
Amen.
What for? Well, he's celebrating victory. And that's what Jesus did that night in the upper room. He took the bread and the wine, and he said, now, fellas, I want you to take this and eat it. I want you to drink this, because this is in memory of me. And he said, and as often as you do this, he didn't say it there, but over in 1 Corinthians we find, as often as you do this in memory of me until I return.
Amen.
Now, he won the victory. Now, it doesn't look like it right now. I mean, we have to admit right now, it doesn't look much like a victory. In fact, you know, it looks like we've lost the battle. More people are lost today than ever have been lost. I mean, things are looking bad. The world's getting worse. But I tell you, we just need to look into God's Word and understand that the victory's already won. The battle has already been fought and won there at the cross. And so we tonight are celebrating a victory. It's not a defeat in any sense of the word. So he says, he brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And listen to what he did. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. Isn't that a marvelous passage? Here is Abraham now returning from the battle in victory. And here the priest of God meets him and says, I want you to know that you are blessed of God. The reason you won the battle was not your strength, was not your ability, but God gave you the victory.
Amen.
And said, I want you to celebrate now, and he gave him the feast. You know, that's what the Lord did to his disciples. He said, I'm going to the cross tomorrow, and I'm going to die, but I'm not going to stay dead. I'm going to be there just 3 days and three nights, and said, I want y'all to celebrate with me my great victory. Now, that night, it didn't look like much of a victory. And just a few hours later, it even looked worse. But Jesus Christ knew that victory had already been won. In the councils of eternity, he had already been crucified. He had already been raised from the dead. And he had already ascended. But it had to take place in history. And so we as the church today, we recognize that the victory has already been won. I mean, we're not fighting a losing battle.
Amen.
There's no question about how this is going to turn out.
Amen.
You know, you watch a football game, and sometimes you don't know until the last second who's going to win that football game. But I tell you, I know who won.
Amen.
Even though the game's not over, I know who won.
Amen.
That's the reason we celebrate tonight.
Amen.
This is a victory.
Amen.
This is a victory. And he said to Abraham, blessed be thou of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And I tell you tonight, we are possessors of heaven and the earth. We are because of the victory that Jesus Christ won at the cross.
Amen.
Isn't that marvelous?
Amen.
You know, when he hung there on the cross, it just still really bothers me when Christians have a hard time with their security. It really does. It bothers me when somebody that's been saved says, I'm just not really quite sure. You know, I don't know. I can't be positive. Listen, when he hung on the cross and said, it's finished, to me that settled it.
Amen.
What was finished? Not his life.
Yeah,
well, that was ridiculous to say. Is he knew that in 3 days he's going to come out of that grave. He wasn't talking about his life. He was talking about the work that God had given him to do. And what was the work that he had been given to do? Clearly, he said he came to seek and save the lost. He said that he came to redeem all those the Father had given him. And he said, all those that come to me, he said, I will in no wise cast out. I will raise him up again in the last day. Now, is that good enough?
Amen.
You know, not long ago a thought came to me about this doubting. And we're celebrating tonight something that's already happened. Just like the children of Israel did the night that they were taking the lamb. They were eating the lamb inside their house. But outside of that house, they had painted the door with blood. They were rejoicing, just like we did last night. They were having a victory celebration. Nothing happened yet, but they were ready. Their shoes were on their feet. They had their staff in their hand, and they were fully dressed. They were ready to go. Why? Because God had told them at midnight, the death angel is going to pass over and said, I'm going to deliver you. Now, can you imagine that night, those people in the room, that or in the house that were eating this meal, beginning to doubt? Well, I just wonder, can we really be sure? I mean, are we really certain? Well, you know what? The thought came to me. The devil puts these thoughts in our minds sometimes, and he sanctifies it by saying that we're doubting ourselves. You know, what we're trying to make ourselves believe is that the doubt is of ourselves. You know, have I really done it, everything I should have done? I mean, was my faith really genuine? I mean, did I really mean what I did? And I just got to thinking, that night in that house in Israel, if anybody doubted, it would not have been their part. They knew clearly that they'd killed the lamb.
Amen.
They knew clearly they couldn't have forgotten about putting the blood on the doorpost. They probably had blood on their hands still. If doubt had come that night in that home, it would have been doubting what God said.
That's right. Amen.
Not what they did.
Amen. That's right.
You just put it down and remember this. Next time you have a doubt, you're not doubting yourself. You're doubting God. You're doubting what God said. You know what you did. You can't forget that. You remember well what you did. Your doubt is whether God will do what He said He would. Well, I'll tell you, let's put everything in a different perspective about this matter of doubt.
Amen.
Do you believe what God said? Jesus said at the cross, it's finished.
Amen.
It was finished 2,000 years ago, and nothing you're going to do now is going to change that at all.
Amen. Hallelujah.
That's right. Well, I tell you, the victory's been won.
Amen.
And tonight, all we do is just sit at the table like Abraham did with Melchizedek and eat the feast of victory. The victory's been won. You see, the battle was already behind Abraham. He wasn't going to battle. He'd already finished the battle. The battle had already been won. And that's what this means tonight. The battle's been won. We're not facing the battle. The battle's been won. The victory's already ours.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
If you do, you're going to rejoice when you celebrate the feast tonight.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Page 47 and
Father, you gave the Son. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you came and accomplished and finished the Father's work. And Lord, we thank you for your love for us. And we thank you never fail us. And we come wherever we've sinned against you, if we have anything that's not right, we pray we get it right with you now and be able to take of this in a way, Lord, that you would be pleased. We confess where we failed, but we thank you, Lord Jesus, for your victory and your blood that cleanses us from all sin. So we give you thanks, Father. And we come to you in that one, the only one you're pleased in, and the one that has done
that's
it all,
right.
Lord Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Revelation in chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, John of the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you in peace. From him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, and him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood.
Amen.
You know what I'm glad I have? I'm glad I got grace.
Amen.
You know I'm glad I got peace.
Amen.
You know what I'm glad about? And that don't come from me.
Amen.
From him,
hallelujah.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Grace be unto you and peace from him.
Yes, him.
You know what would happen if it was from me? I'd muff it up, brother. You know what happened if I had to get that stuff myself? I wouldn't have peace. I wouldn't get grace. But you know where that stuff is from? It's from him.
Amen.
You look at you see, oh, that's a gracious brother. You know where that grace comes from? It's from
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
He doesn't have a peace in his life. You know where he got that peace? From his own life?
No.
His own way of living? It's from him.
Amen.
Always from him.
Amen.
And you know, look at the character. Oh, praise God, it's from him. Because that peace and that grace is from him. It's which is and which was. And which is to come.
Hallelujah.
2,000 years ago, old John is out there on an island, and he's writing these things down, and he had grace. And he got peace from one that was at his time.
Amen.
And you know, when I read today, there's one who is still at my time, that source of grace and peace. He still is.
Amen.
He still is. Hey, you know, 100 years from now, the Lord there is when you go out, and hopefully the next generation rises up, and are out in the uttermost reaches of the world, and they're preaching the gospel of Christ. And I go, you can get grace, and you can get peace with God.
Right.
You know who they're going to be pointing people to?
That's right.
And they're preaching the right gospel.
Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
That source, which character is eternal. Grace and peace from him. And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, and him that loved us and washed us from our sins, in his own blood.
Amen.
You know, when I look at that table, you know what I see? I see a faithful witness.
Amen.
I see a faithful witness. Boy, I look at the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I see he was faithful in what he did. I see access to forgiveness of sins because there was a faithful man who walked the face of the earth one day, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was a faithful witness. I see forgiveness of sins for me because there was one who was faithful one day, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just thank the Lord Jesus that he was faithful.
Amen.
And that what he's done is through his body, through his sacrifice, has opened up a door to grace
Hallelujah.
And peace
Amen.
To me
Amen.
Through the offering of his own self upon the cross of Calvary. Praise the Lord.
Praise Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
It's him.
In Titus 3:5, it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you for
Jesus
regeneration.
Christ is Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord
Praise
Jesus.
The Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for this table tonight. In the remembrance of the hope that you gave to a lost humanity, Lord, that you had sent a son, that son would redeem us from the sin which we've been cursed to and from a death, from an eternal death. God, we thank you for the death on the cross of Calvary that purchased that salvation. Lord, we thank you that you loved us when we were in our sin and unworthy and when we were your enemies. And God, that you looked down and you loved us and you sent your son to die for us completely out of your grace and love and of no merit of our own. We just want to lift your name up and praise you tonight. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Praise you.
Can we sing thank you, Lord, for saving my soul?
Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise
the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Blessings be on the. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Praise
thy faithfulness,
Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Thank you for a finished work.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. King of kings, Lord of lords.
I am as faithful and true.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you.
Praise
the
Lord
Jesus.
King of kings, Lord of
lords.
He said, I am the bread of life.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah is done.
Amen.
I am the Son. Praise the Lord.
Saved by the blood of the crucified
one. Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Thou art Lord tonight.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you again. Lord, you're good.
Amen.
Amen.
grace.
Thank you.
Lord, you're righteous.
Amen.
We trust in your sacrifice.
Amen.
He said, take, eat, this is my body.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise you.
Thank you. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is Lord.
Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the blood. Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you shed your blood and you died for us. Lord, that we had nothing in our hands so that we could bring to you, Lord, but we look to your blood and we look to the cross and we look to the death that you died, Lord, and we see all these things that you did for us, Lord, that we might live. And we're thankful, Lord. We're thankful, Lord, that your blood will never lose its power, Lord.
Amen.
And ever live to make intercession for us.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord. For as often as you eat this bread, you drink this blood, you will show the death of our Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He's coming again.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
For the shout of victory.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Lord Jesus.
My soul hath magnified the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord
Jesus.
Amen. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his trouble.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Praise the Lamb,
Amen. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood.
Amen.
He was made to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God.
Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you for your righteousness, Lord Jesus.
He entered and worked into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us.
Hallelujah.
Eternal redemption.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Eternal.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Praise
the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Praise
the Lord.
Amen. As of a lamb without blemish, without spot.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Now, thank you.
Ah, Lord Jesus.
For I know who I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have delivered unto him against that day.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God is our salvation.
Thank you,
Lord. Praise the Lord for his goodness.
We have a word of God.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Hallelujah, tis done.
Amen.
On the beam of the cross. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified.
Amen.
Amen.
Cup of the New Testament in my blood.
Amen.
This be in remembrance.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Victory in Jesus.
Amen.
I'm the red book.
496.
The red book.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Psalms 92, it says, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praise to thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Upon an instrument of 10 strings, upon the harp with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy word. I will triumph in the works of thy hands.
Amen.
O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep.
Amen.
A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth the fool understand this. When the wicked springs as the grass, and when the workers of the iniquity do flourish, it is they that shall be destroyed forever. But thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. For lo, thine enemies, O Lord, for lo, thine enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn shall thou exalt, like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Mine eye only shall see my desire on mine enemies, and mine ear shall hear my desire of the wicked that rise up against me. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat and flourishing. To show that the Lord is upright, he is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him."
Amen.
This time of the year is real special to me. November, I don't want to tell you just my carnal birthday, but also my spiritual birthday.
Amen.
And on the 20th, I completed 12 years in the Lord. And
Amen.
I'm just praising because he has done a marvelous work in my life. I can remember when I was without the Lord. And I was lost. I didn't have any hope that Eddie was talking about tonight. None of us did without the Lord.
Amen.
The day that I found the Lord as my Savior, I can still remember clearly the night that I found Christ. And it was beautiful. And he's been a wonderful Lord in my life. He's brought me through a lot. I failed him in a lot of ways, but yet he's still faithful.
Amen.
He's a merciful God.
Thank you, Lord.
He's a loving God. But something I share with a lot of believers, he's wonderful, he's merciful, he's also a jealous God. He wants us to be faithful to him, and there's times when we fail him. But he's always a forgiving God.
Amen.
And he wants us to glorify him in all that we say and do. Our walk is so important. And I know that almost 7 years ago I married my husband. It's not been an easy walk with the Lord. And I just praise the Lord for my husband, his salvation, and for our children that we have. And now with my in-laws living with us. And I know there's not very many daughters-in-law that can live with the mother-in-law. But I praise the Lord for my mother-in-law. She's been a blessing to me. And I praise the Lord for him, for my father-in-law. And we have with us tonight my mother-in-law's best friend from high school that was a Christian back then. And she had witnessed to my mother-in-law many years. And I know it was a lot of joy for her to see that my mother-in-law had gotten saved.
Hallelujah.
I just praise the Lord for my family, my physical family, and also for my spiritual family. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for loving me and caring for me. And I just thank the Lord. It says it is good to give thanks unto the Lord.
Amen.
And to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. To show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night.
Amen.
One in suffering, one plan.
He can become extremist
in
anything. And when we do, many times the result is losing our first love.
Yeah, man.
I think that we have a balance right now. I believe that this church has a balance. I don't think we're perfect, but I think we have a balance. I think that we don't tolerate. More, I haven't been here, but I've heard that sometimes people get up, you know, and they start something, and they just don't last. Brother Lucenzo, you're out of order. Sit down. And of course, if they don't want to sit down, well, we got enough around here big enough to put them out. We're not going to allow any food in it. And sin is judged. I mean, we don't allow stuff to go on, you know, and just unchecked. It's taken care of. It's dealt with. And I believe there's labor. I mean, I believe there's people that go out and really labor for the Lord. They're not just doing a token thing, you know, just so they can check some box in some kind of thing they're filling out. They're doing it because they love the Lord.
Amen.
And patience, my, look at the years that have been put in. Labor, I mean, really patience and just strive when it looked like that it was never going to be anything. And yet, you know, the danger is always lurking that all of these things can be done without love. First of all, love for our Lord Jesus. And secondly, and I think just as important, love for one another.
Yeah, amen.
Boy, when we lose that ingredient, then all of the rest of that stuff is just meaningless. You go back to 1 Corinthians 13 and read again and see what it says. He said, if I do all, he said, even if I give my body to be burned. Now, that's pretty heroic, isn't it? I mean, boy, that is really a real sacrifice. I'm willing to die. Here I am. Just burn me. He said, but if you don't have love, it profits nothing. We have to keep our eyes on the main thing. And evidently, and this is my supposition, but evidently the main thing is love. What Paul said was that he said now about a faith, hope, and charity, but the greatest of these is charity. The greatest, he said, was love. Greater than faith, greater than hope. And then you read all the churches in Revelation, and the only threat to remove the candlestick was not to the churches that had gone off in all kinds of junk, but to the church that was doing everything right. But didn't have one. Boy, it makes you stop and think.
Yeah, amen.
Where is our emphasis? Well, last night we saw where our emphasis is.
Yeah,
last night we experienced that. But you know what? It's so short a time. So short a time sometime between being right and being wrong. Boy, we've seen folks, you know, that were so right 1 week.
Right.
And the next week just fell apart.
Yeah.
Can the church do that? Sure they can.
Yeah.
If we get our eyes off of the main thing.
Right.
And you know, I'm not talking about the kind of love that the ecumenical council talks about. I'm not talking about that kind of false, mushy kind of love. I'm talking about real Christian love.
Yeah.
Whom we see a brother need that our heart goes out to him and we do more than just pray for him. Like John said, you know, you say to your brother that's hungry, depart and be filled. He said, that doesn't happen too much.
Yeah.
You know, that's not love. What about a brother that's in sin? What do you do? Do you talk about him or do you go to him and try to raise him up?
Yeah.
That's the kind of love we're talking about. We're not talking about a mushy kind of love like they accuse me of having. You know, just hug everybody. No, that's not love. I'll be honest with you, that's not love. That's an expression of love, and I wish that we had more of that.
Yeah.
I really do. You know, I found this, and this is just a postscript, but I found this, that people are hungry for affection.
Amen.
I'm amazed. I really am. When people come into the church down there sometimes, I've never met them, never seen them in my life. But I have such a habit of hugging folks before I realize it, I put my arms around them, you know. And did you know, in the 7 years that I've been there, I think I've only had about 3 people that have refused that affection. I mean, you can tell when somebody accepts us or when somebody rejects. People are hungry for affection. They really are. I mean, they respond to it. They really do. And I wish we had more of that. I wish we had more of this, greeting one another with a holy kiss. But that's not what I'm talking about, really. What I'm talking about... Hey, give us a break. Well, Bill's already started, so...
What humility.
But seriously, with all of my heart, I say tonight that what we want to remember is this. Love is the main ingredient. Love is the main ingredient. It's not going to turn out right, no matter what else we do, if we don't have love. Not only for Him who loved us first, but for those that He loved. You know, it says if we don't love those that we walk with, how can we love Him that we've never seen?
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Let me turn to Galatians chapter 5. Let Tim preach a sermon on this. I think about 1 Corinthians 13 also. several years ago or something, and well, I changed it not to write out of my chair, you know. But I used to go to 1 Corinthians 13, you know, and I'd read that, and I'd say, oh boy, I really need to do that. That's what I need to do in my life, you know, and I'm just going to do that, you know. And I'd get about 6-7 hours down the road, you know, and that was it, kind of burn out, you know. I said, well, you know, next time I read 1 Corinthians 13, I'd be saying the same thing, you know. Boy, how come I ain't doing this stuff? I need to do this, you know, really. And he preached a sermon, and that it's, you can't work this stuff up in your flesh, you know. Right. You can't do that. I don't know why I didn't know that. I mean, it's just so obvious you can't. I mean, my life was an expression of failure and trying to work this stuff up and try to accomplish His love in and of my own self. And when He said that, I says, it's not in me, then where is it? It's in Him. It was in Him. In Galatians in chapter 5, it talks, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, jealous, goodness, and faith, and it goes on. But it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's the first fruit of the Spirit that's listed here. And so when I first read that, I thought, well, if I can't work it in myself, how am I going to do that? It's through the Spirit. All right, then. Now the Spirit is going to produce love in me. And you know, one of the first things I said was, how do I do that? How do I let the Spirit of God love through me? And I don't have a formula for you, you know. I can't take the book, you know, and give you 17 points on how to let the Spirit of God, you know, rule in your life so that you get love coming out on the branches as part of the fruit. But one of the things I dealt with, though, that I did get blessed with, was all of a sudden when I met this wall of condemnation and saying, I have no way I can produce this fruit in and of my own self, when God revealed to me, see, it's not supposed to be in your own self, it's in me.
Amen.
But regardless of how hard it is to get there, regardless of how difficult, how hard-headed I am, you know, before the Lord reveals to me how I get the Spirit to work out, how I let the Spirit work out His love through me, at least I found a way.
Amen.
At least I know the root of success.
Amen.
At least I know how to get 1 Corinthians 13 applied and moving it in my life. And that's to draw nigh unto God.
Amen.
And that's to go to
Amen.
God for it. And that's to get it from Him and not to keep trying to work it up in my own self, which was nothing but failure every time. You know, I want to thank God and rejoice that He's given me the opportunity, the insight, the word that, hey, Steve, don't sit there and pine away in your condemnation. Look to me for Amen. Victory. I Amen. Have love to work out in your life. I'll bear fruit, the fruit of love in your life, if you'll just let me.
Amen. Amen.
Book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 25. And we are a blessed people.
Amen.
We're blessed. And everybody keeps talking about last night. I wasn't here last night, but I sure wish I was.
Amen.
It was a blessing last night. I really messed with you. Maybe next year. Praise the Lord. Lord willing. But you know, the Lord has out in the streets of San Antonio passing out tracts, and as I looking at the faces of the people, you know, there was no joy. You couldn't see that joy that as Christians we have, you know. We have joy unspeakable and full of glory, you know.
Amen.
And we have to show the world that Christianity is not dead, born, and just some kind of ritual, but if there's joy and there's
Amen.
Peace.
Amen.
You know, and we're Christians and we're saved. And we are a blessed people because in the Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter, I believe, 25, 23, it says, the shout of a king is among us. We ought to shout about
Amen.
It. Show the world we ought to shout about it and show them that we're saved, we're Christians, and we got joy. And in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 25, you know, I walked into my the office one morning. You know how Mondays are. You walk into the office of where we work, and the boss, I've been witness to him, and he's lost, you know, and been praying for him. And so I walked in there. You know, when I walked in, I just woken up, you know, and I was running late and stuff like this. He goes, hey, what's the matter, Omar? You got problems? What's the problem here? You know, you don't look too good. And I snapped. I said, I'm a Christian, you know. I'm not supposed to be looking. I'm supposed to be joyful every day. Every night I'm supposed to be happy, you know. And so I said, no, praise the Lord. I'm saved. I got Jesus in my heart. I've got the gift. The gift. Salvation. And after that, he never tells me anything anymore. He's a little quiet now, you know. So I'm glad I can do what David did. What David did. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 25, Peter was preaching. He said, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved.
Right.
We're unmovable. You know, to me, I think of myself personally, I'm expendable. I can be I can be taken away, taken home early. But you know what? There'll be another one coming. There'll be another Christian coming to take, either take my place or to preach the gospel or to pass out tracts or whatever. You know, I'm expendable. And I can say here that I shall not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad.
Amen.
Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope.
Amen.
My flesh shall rest in hope. The lost can't say that.
Right.
As I saw the people's faces downtown, you know, they were looking for what we got. They were looking for it in alcohol. They were looking for it in the glitter and the gold of the world. Joy. But it's only for a little while. You know, Satan is a liar. And he's a backstabber. And as I saw their faces, you know, they didn't have that joy. They were looking for it. But we're so blessed, you know, we're so blessed that we have that joy all the time. We got it inside, you know.
Amen.
And he says here, because thou will not leave my soul in hell. I'm so glad I'm not going to hell. You know, one of the reasons we get saved is because we don't want to go to hell.
Amen.
Amen. Not because of heaven. Yeah, heaven too, but because I don't want to go to hell.
Amen.
He says, because thou will not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy holy one to see corruption. In verse Acts 2:38, he says here, then Peter said unto them, well, 37, he says, now when they heard this, that's the message Peter preached, they were pricked in the heart, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. You get saved first, and you get baptized. And he says, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. The gift, salvation. No, my friend, my Pentecostal friend, it's not tongues. It's salvation, eternal
Amen.
Life.
Amen.
Why? Because he says in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, turn there to Romans chapter 6, verse 23.
That's right.
He says, for the wages of sin, for the wages of sin is death.
Yes.
The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God
Amen.
Is eternal life
Amen.
Through Christ our Lord. I'm so glad I got the gift. I'm
Amen.
So glad I've got Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So glad I got the gift, eternal life.
Amen.
We ought to shout about it because the shout of a king is upon us.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord Jesus.
This world is not my home. I'm just a pastor.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Pretty soon, too.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Exodus. Amen.
Exodus chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25, look at verse 10. They shall make an ark of shittim wood. 2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and a cubit and a half the breadth thereof, and a cubit and a half the height thereof. Thou shalt overlay it with pure gold within and without, shalt thou overlay it, and shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. And thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof, and 2 rings shall be in the one... And 2 rings shall be in the one side of it, and 2 rings in the other side of it. Thou shalt make staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. And thou shalt put the staves into the rings by the sides of the ark, that the ark may be borne with them. The staves shall be in the rings of the ark, they shall not be taken from it. And thou shalt put into the ark the testimony which I shall give thee. Thou shalt make a mercy seat of pure
Amen.
Gold.
Amen.
2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof, and a cubit and a half the breadth thereof. And thou shalt make 2 cherubims of gold of beaten work shalt thou make them in the 2 ends of the mercy seat, and make 1 cherub on the one side, and the other cherub on the other side. Even of the mercy seat shalt thou make the cherubims on the 2 ends thereof. And the cherubims shall stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their faces shall look one to another toward the mercy seat, shall the faces of cherubims be. And thou shalt put the mercy seat above upon the ark, and in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee above the mercy seat, and from between the 2 cherubims, which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I will give which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. We have in the Bible, this is an ark we're talking about here. The ark that they put in the most holy place in the tabernacle that the Lord showed Moses that he was to make while they were going through the wilderness. And in the Bible we have three arks. There's three arks mentioned in the Bible. We have the ark of Noah, then the ark that Moses was in when he was a baby, that his mother speak of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every one of these arks speak of Christ.
That's right.
If you look back there in Genesis, you'll find, and when you look at the ark there of Noah, you're going to find that there was an ark that carried Noah and his family through the judgment onto safety into the new world. And that's a type of Christ, the ark of safety. Amen. And then you have the ark with Moses. You have the ark with Moses, and Moses was put in there. And Moses is a type of Christ. He was the deliverer to come in, and he was to come in and bring the people out of Israel, bring out the people of God from under that bondage of slavery. And that's Christ. He's the deliverer. He's that ark who comes and he delivers people out from under the bondage of Satan and sin. And here we find also another ark. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is because he said, I always had the Lord before me. Over there in that the brother just read. And we're talking about love. And we're talking about how do we get this love? And these are pertinent questions, because love is a very important thing, and I think in every one of our lives we can say we lack in this area. We're really not up to the standard where God would have us. And yet I think a lot of us can say in our lives we want more love. I think some of us were even praying while the brother was talking about love. Man, Lord, give me that love. I want to experience that love. I want to have that love.
Amen.
I just don't want to just know about it. I don't want to know, you know, all the ingredients about it and dissect 1 Corinthians 13 and be able to tell people and give them a summary of the chapter on what love is all about. But really, I want to demonstrate. I want to have that love and be demonstrated through my life. Because he said, without it, you know, he says, you're nothing. Yeah, you're nothing. No matter if you can get up and preach and pass out tracts and preach on the street.
Yeah.
Do this and do that. Set up the chairs. Whatever amount of service that we find ourselves in. If we don't have this love, then he says that we're nothing, and it profits us nothing. And that's a stinging statement, I think. That's a very stinging statement. That's a hard statement to deal with. But yet it's the Word of God, and we must deal with it. We can't sidestep the issue. We have to face it. We have to face the issue. And it's a very interesting point the brother brought up, that it's the only church that he says he'll take the candlestick away. And we're talking about a serious matter. We're talking about a God who's serious. And but God not only tells us about love, but I believe he's made a provision. I believe that God, who tells us about the love in 1 Corinthians 13 and the necessity of having that love in our lives, not only does that, but I believe he provides it for us.
Amen.
I believe he provides it for us. And I believe where he provides it is in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You see, I believe everything that we need and everything that God has designed for us to have, we're only going to find in Christ.
Right.
We can't find it anywhere else.
Amen.
We can come to the meetings, brethren. We can go, and it's good to come to the meetings, and it's good to be with brethren. And I believe God uses the brethren to minister to us, that he might minister these things of Christ.
Amen.
That's what the Holy Ghost is for.
Amen.
He takes the things of Christ and makes them known unto us.
Amen.
And I believe that the Spirit of God would seek to have us occupied with Christ. You know, he says, beholding, 2 Corinthians 3, he says, beholding, it's in a glass darkly, but beholding and being changed from glory to glory even by the Spirit of God. What are we beholding? We're holding the glory of God. Where is it? It's in Christ, it says in the next chapter.
Amen.
It's while a person beholds Christ, I mean a real beholding of him. And I'm not just talking about a superficial thing, but a real beholding of Christ in his life. As the brother was talking about, looking onto Jesus and beholding him, I believe then the Spirit of God does that work where he occupies us with Christ, and he takes the things of Christ and makes them known to us, and he does that work of the fruit of the Spirit in our life, and which is the first one is love. The fruit, singular, of the Spirit is love. Then he gives the ninefold love there, but it all comes from love. The ninefold fruit, and it all starts there with love.
Amen.
And so I believe that the Spirit of God would have us occupied with Christ. And that's what it's all about the idea of this love. For instance, if you say, well, how can I have this love? Jesus said, abide in me.
That's right.
Amen. He didn't say strive or, you know, or to try to work this thing up. He just said simply abide in me and I in you.
Amen.
As a branch cannot bring fruit, forth fruit of itself, neither can ye except ye abide in me. Yes. Abide in me and I in you. He that abides in me, he says, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Amen. He says, why? Because he says, I am the true vine. I'm the true vine, and all we have, and what he wants is us to abide in Christ. And I think the sad matter is, and I can confess for myself that a lot of times I don't take the scriptural way to try to get this love, and I try to produce it in myself, and all I do is I get myself frustrated, and I just get myself in frustration because of the failure after failure after failure after failure. When Jesus is saying, just like salvation, you couldn't save yourself,
right.
And just as much as we couldn't save ourselves, we can't produce this love.
Right. Amen.
We cannot produce the love of God. It's His love,
Amen.
And He has to give it to us just like He's given us everything else as a gift.
Amen.
He says, the love of God is shed abroad in your hope by the Holy Ghost, which is in you.
Amen.
And so, if we're gonna experience this love, we're gonna experience it from God. From God. And so here, I just wanted to share this. It was a blessing to me. Because I get frustrated with myself. My wife says, you're down on yourself a lot. And I guess I do. And I condemn myself. Tony says he finds himself self-condemning. And Dale has always told us, he says, you just never get anywhere that way. Always in self-condemnation.
Yeah,
and, you know, and there was a blessing I really got out of this. And I just really like to just share with you real quickly is that God has a place. God has designed and a place where we can meet with Him.
Praise the Lord.
God has designed a place where we can meet with Him.
Praise the Lord.
God has said in His Word, there's one place and only one place only that you can meet with me.
Amen.
And if you want to meet God, and God is love, and God is light, and you want to have the fruit that is from God, you're going to have to meet with Him.
Amen.
You're going to have to meet with Him and get it from Him, just like you had to meet with Him for salvation. And you have to meet with Him on His terms.
Amen.
You have to meet with Him not on our terms, and not how we think it should be, but on how He said it is. It is. And you see here, the ark here is a picture of Christ. And He says, and I want you to notice two qualities here. One, He says it was to be made of shittim wood. One is to be made of shittim wood. And the first time you ever read about trees in the Bible is in Genesis and the creation. And where were they made? Here on earth.
Amen.
You see, because Christ is a man. He still is a man. I think a lot of times we lose sight of that. We lose sight that there's a man in glory.
Amen.
Standing on the right hand, that's seated at the right hand of the Father. That represents His people.
Amen.
He's a man. And He's a man who's a faithful and merciful high priest that He can enter in. And we have not a great high priest who does not feel with the infirmity about the infirmities of our flesh. He's one who understands and knows and cares. He's a man. He was weary. He's a man. He was tempted. He's a man, but He was without sin.
Amen.
And there's the difference.
Amen.
He took part of the same. It says He was. We are made of flesh and blood. And it says, and He took part of the same, not all of it, not the sin, but all, brethren. He had a body. A body was prepared for Him. He had a soul. And He had a spirit. And He's all man. He's the perfect man. We lose sight of that. It's the man Christ Jesus. Is up there, the Bible said. There's one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus. He's a man. But not only He's a man, I tell you there's something unique about this man. He's God.
Amen.
He's God. You see, the gold. And what do we read over there in Revelation, the last book of the Bible? We read about streets of gold. Where are they? They're not here on earth. They're up there in heaven.
Amen.
They're up there in heaven. See, the one who is the man on earth, He came from heaven.
Amen.
He's the one who made heaven and earth.
Amen.
He's the creator.
Amen.
You see? And He's God. You see, and I think there's a statement in 1 Corinthians 15 that summarizes it all. It says, the second man is the Lord from heaven.
That's right. Amen.
That summarizes the whole thing concerning who Jesus Christ is. The second man, He's a man without sin. He's the Lord from heaven.
Amen.
He's the Jehovah of the Old Testament and the Jesus Christ of the New Testament.
Amen.
He's the Lord from heaven.
Amen.
And so this one who is perfect man and fully Almighty God, He is the ark. He is the ark.
Amen.
And God said, there I'm going to place a mercy seat.
Amen. Amen.
And you notice where the cherubim's faces were looking? Right at that mercy seat.
Amen.
You see? You know where God's eyes is? Right on that mercy seat.
That's right.
You know what was put in the ark? The testimony, the law.
That's right.
You know where that law is? In the heart of Christ.
Amen.
In the heart of Christ. He's the only one who ever kept it perfectly.
Perfect.
But you know what? He not only did that. If he would have only done that, we would have been condemned even greater. If he would have
went. That's right.
You know what he said? What he says he put a mercy seat there. You know what they're going to put on that mercy seat?
The blood.
Blood.
Hallelujah.
After shedding of blood, there was no remission. You see, he fulfilled the law to every jot and tittle. But if he would have from there just went back to heaven, we would just been condemned more. He says, I've come into the world and you've seen my works. He says, now you have sin. You see, he doesn't stop there. He in his love went to the cross.
Yeah.
Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And there he shed his blood. There he died for our sins. And you see, there at the mercy seat, Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus Christ is God's mercy seat.
Amen.
If you want to have mercy, you're only going to find it in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You're not going to find it outside of Jesus Christ and His perfect sacrifice
that
He offered once for all.
Amen.
And if you want to meet God, that's where you have to meet Him. That's what He said.
That's right.
And that's what that has been a kind of a blessing to me, is that, hey, I can meet God.
Amen.
But I have to meet Him where He said, where
that's
He's designed
right.
and told me where I have to meet Him.
Amen.
He says, and there I will meet with thee.
Amen.
And there will I meet with thee. You know, there's no other place you're going to meet God.
Amen.
I'm telling you, brethren, God has designed it. God has determined it. God has said it to be that there's one place that He's going to meet us. And there's only one place He can meet. That's in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God can only meet us in Jesus Christ. And brethren, no matter what we do, no matter how much we try to produce this or that, no matter how much service we do on the right hand, and that's nothing's wrong with that. He was commending that labor.
Amen.
I believe we should labor. I believe
Amen.
We should for His name's sake, just like
Amen.
It said there. But we got to realize that everything we need is in Christ.
Amen.
And if we're going to meet God, we have to meet Him. You see, because without Him, we can do nothing. He says, without me, He can do nothing. We're going to have to meet Him. We're going to have to meet Him. And here's the place we're designed to meet.
Amen.
In Christ. If you want to meet God, you have to meet Him in Jesus Christ. We have to meet Him in Jesus Christ. And He says, and there, He says, not only that, He says, I will commune with you from above the mercy seat. That's where He's going to commune with us. If you want to have communion with God, you only can have it in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We can't have communion. We cannot produce. We do not have the supernatural ability to produce a communion with God. You see, the only way we can have communion
Amen.
With Him is with God is in this in Christ. And when we're having communion with Him, then I believe
Amen.
We're going to be abiding in Him and He in us. And then there's going to be this production of fruit. And I know I talk about it, and I know I lack it much in my life. But I feel like I'm not the only one who does lack that. I think all of us can sense that lack. And I was noticing was reading through 2 Timothy. I was noticing something. He says, verse 1, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. If we want life, brethren, it's in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
And then he goes on and he says here, he gives another statement here. He says, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. If we want faith and love, brethren, it's in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Then he says over here, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The sound words are in Christ. Everything's in Christ.
Amen.
God has determined that everything can be in Christ. And brethren, that's the only place we can meet Him, and the only place we can commune with Him, and the only place from where we can receive, because He says, there am I going to talk with you and give you the commandments.
Amen.
Right there. And that's the only place where we're going to receive from God
Amen.
What we need to get is in Christ.
Amen.
God has designed it so, determined it so, predetermined, predestinated, that there in Christ is where is only in Christ is there can He give us, and where He will give us everything that we need. Okay? So, brethren, it's not in us, it's not in a church, it's not in what we can do. We've been saying that everything's in Christ.
Amen.
One faith. You have to find it in Him. You want love? It's in Him.
Amen.
How about grace? You need grace to help in this time of need? It's in Him.
Amen.
It's in Him. How about life? We talk about life. The idea of, you know, when we talk, well, sometimes that I know that sometimes we talk about, well, the church is dead, you know, because, I don't know, maybe they're not loud enough or anything. But I don't think just being loud is having life either. But we want the real thing. Now, that doesn't mean that when we have it, we can be loud. Or we got, you know what, if you understand what I'm saying. I'm just saying that just because making a lot of noise doesn't mean that you really have life. But there's nothing wrong in making a loud noise unto the Lord.
Amen.
But just let's hope that what we're experiencing is we're experiencing the life that's in Christ.
Amen.
See, and then it's real, and then God accepts it. And if it's not that, if it's just a simple self-production of ourselves, God does not accept it, will not accept it, cannot accept it. He has already said that in the flesh, He said, you cannot please God.
Right.
But we are in the Spirit. All Christians positionally are in the Spirit, and they have come to the place of being what they were created to be.
Amen.
Ones who can bring pleasure to God. Amen. He created us for pleasure.
Amen.
But the problem is, in the flesh we cannot please God.
Amen.
And so God has done a supernatural act. God has done a marvelous thing that through His Son, through the death of His Son, the resurrection of His Son, and the Spirit carrying out that work in a practical, applicable way in the life of somebody else, He takes that person from in the flesh and puts them in the Spirit, and now that man can experience the purpose for which he was created.
Amen.
That's why men are walking around this life without purpose. They think they've come from nothing. They think everything's nothing now, and it's going on to nothing. They have no purpose in life, and that's why they're so empty. And that's like the brother said, that's why they're downtown San Antonio looking for something. Because inside there's a thirst. There's an emptiness. There's something there, and it can't be filled by the things of this life. No matter if they get this or that or this or that, it always ends up as emptiness. Vanity.
Sure.
Vanity of vanities. The preacher said, all is vanity under the sun. You see? But God has a place, brethren, where we can find a fulfillment of our of the purpose for which God created us.
Amen.
In Christ.
He
takes us and puts us in Christ, positionally puts us in the Spirit, and from there we can live the type of life, we can experience the life that's in Christ in our lives. That's what God wants, because He's looked down from heaven one time, brethren. And I don't know any other person He ever said this about in all the scripture. I could be mistaken. But it says that one time He looked down from heaven, said, "This is My Son, in whom I'm well pleased." You know who He's pleased in? Jesus.
Amen.
That's the only one I know that He's ever been pleased in and ever will be pleased in. That's why He puts us in Him. That when He sees us in Him.
Amen.
You see? And He loves us with the same love that He loves Jesus with.
Amen.
He says that in John 17. He loves us with the same love that He loves His Son with.
Amen.
That's an amazing thing.
Amen.
I would not believe that, but I wouldn't even say something if it wasn't in the Bible, but it's in there. It's in John 17. It's in John 17. So, brethren, we need to meet with God. We need with God, and God has made a place where we can meet Him. And it's difficult for me to get up and to speak. I've spoken maybe 2-3 times since I've been back from the mission field. But God just kind of has brought my thoughts back to this verse over and over again. That Joe, I have a place where I'll meet you.
That's right.
It's not in the accomplishments of your work.
That's right.
It's not in, and it has nothing to do about your failure either. It has nothing to do about your failure or your accomplishment. It has nothing to do about the so-called good or or the bad, whatever. No. He says, I have a place. There's only one place, Joe, I've ever designed. He wants to bring me to that place to realize there's only one place I can meet Him.
Amen.
That's in Christ.
Amen.
And so, if I glory, I can only glory in the cross of Christ.
Amen.
I can't glory in any accomplishment. I can't.
Amen.
Or I can't even. You know, I don't think the Lord would even have me to continue to mourn over my faith.
That's right.
I think He'd have me to confess sin.
That's right.
But then He'd have me to look to Him and say, "Hey,
Amen.
He's faithful and just."
Amen. Amen. Amen.
See, and to cleanse me from all my sins, and to be occupied with Him. There's the occupation, and then I meet Him in Christ. I say, hey, God said I can meet you in, and I meet Him in Christ.
Amen.
I meet God in Christ, and I commune with God in Christ.
Hallelujah.
And not in something I do, not in something that I am, or, because I am nothing. But I can, by God's grace, because grace is in Christ, love is in Christ, faith is in Christ, life is in Christ, forgiveness is in Christ, faithfulness is in Christ. So He's the faithful witness who read about the resurrection is in Christ. I said, I am the resurrection and the life. Life is in Christ. Truth is in Christ. I am the truth. Brethren, we can go on all night.
Amen.
So, I just hope that... I hope that will be maybe a comfort to your hearts next time you're going through something, and or you're even trying to produce this fruit of love. You say, hey, it's not my fruit, it's His fruit.
That's right. Yeah.
And I got to meet Him and commune with Him. And as I abide in Him, He'll take care of the fruit.
Amen.
That's His business.
That's right, brother.
That's His business. My business is to simply meet where God told me to meet with Him and commune with Him where God told me to commune with Him.
Amen.
And there, He said, He'll speak with us.
Amen.
And there, He'll give us everything that we need.
Praise
in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And that expression is used over and over and over again in the New Testament. It's one of the key expressions of the New Testament.
Amen.
Of the New Testament in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That's the key of it all.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Joe, I think you brought us down to a real good close. We started with the Lord Jesus Christ, and all thanksgiving for our salvation, we end with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Everything's in Christ.
Amen.
And that's where we find our salvation. That's where we get our blessing. You know, we've had a wonderful time. You can tell I had a lot of fun. Not much left. We've been going for a long time. I praise God for it. We've had some wonderful messages and wonderful testimonies.
Amen.
Just another good Thanksgiving conference.
Praise the Lord.
It's been wonderful.
Amen.
I just rejoice with all of you. Wish all of you could have been here every night. And some of you missed out last night for whatever reason. You missed it.
Amen.
Willie Calls, we've been preaching 34 years. He said, I've never seen a service like that in all my life.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen. He called up and canceled two different times. So he could stay in the meeting. So, you know, just thank the Lord for His rich, rich blessings.
Amen.
They've been good blessings.
Amen.
Brother Joe Benedetti and Yoshi have come back, and they've gotten jobs, and they're settled and whatever. And so this month will be the last month that we'll carry them as regular support for missionaries. So up to the end of this month, beginning next month, well, they won't be on our missionary list, our active missionary list. We thank the Lord for them. We appreciate
Amen.
You coming back.
Amen.
And the church, and taking up a work and a testimony.
Amen.
The classes that we normally teach, Steve and I, on Tuesdays and Thursday nights, all classes will be canceled this week. We're hoping, Bob, to have a permit tomorrow. Yeah, you get shot at dawn Tuesday. You better pray real hard. Actually, what we're going to do, we're going to let Brad and George rinse your back for you and try to straighten it out for you. No, we're in the midst of building, and we're hoping to complete the complete outside. It'll be dried in with all the outside done. We'll still need about 40,000 or so to finish the inside, but that's the next goal. The first goal is good enough to put that foundation out there and dry it in. That's a lot of money and a lot of work, and it's done. It's gone real well. The Lord's answered our prayers. We thank the Lord for it. We could probably use another $1,000 by tonight, which we don't have, but that's all right. We'll work it out somehow. Would you pray about that? Now, this next week, we can use. We'll probably have lights set up every night, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll work right up to a prayer meeting. We'll go ahead and have a regular prayer meeting time, 7:30. But we'll work every night. Anybody that'll come, bring a hammer, bring a shovel. Although we don't have too much shovel work left. I think most of the shovel work's done, so some of you guys can show up to stay away while it's working. At any rate, a lot of work to be done. Gonna need some lifting. We just need a lot of warm bodies. When we build a whole wall and have everything done on it, and then you put it in place, it just takes a lot of people, every couple of feet, just to lift and put it up. So we have a lot of good carpenters coming in and working, and our own crew we have here is doing a wonderful job.
Amen.
Thank the Lord for them. So we'll need your work. When you get off work, Just throw your work clothes in the back of your car and get off work. Just come on over. You can eat at 11 o'clock at night like the rest of us. Amen. Hey, some of you that can't work, well, you can buy hamburgers and bring them by. That'd be fine, too.
Yeah.
What?
Amen.
Guys, we might stop and some of the ladies might cook for some of this crew working around here. Bring them something for lunch. Any other announcements need to be made? We will not be having any class this week. We'll be working every night. And we'll have the lights up, so whatever can be done, the only thing that'll hold us will be the permit doesn't come through. And we're sure hoping to get the permit. So because we have a crew, we got everybody ready to go, and pray about that. Anything else? Any announcement on missus? Yes.
Dishes.
Oh, yes.
Dishes, and there's lots in the refrigerator. Included. Please check the refrigerator.
All right. There are dishes, and your dishes with food in them, and whatever you brought this morning or brought throughout this week, pick them up. Those of you brought shovels and picks and other things for us to use, why, pick them up. Pick up your tools. We don't need to have an extra night if somebody is stealing. We have to keep people here all the time. We're trying to keep people, somebody here all the time. So, we're through with the shovel part and the pick part and all most of the digging part. So, take all those tools back home and then we'll come with the rest of it. Anything else? Anything else on this show?
I just wanted just to say what, because you made the announcement about us coming off everything. I'd like to say first publicly that we thank the Lord. He was merciful to us and He's provided our every need. Every need, spiritually, you know, in every way. I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank everybody here for their prayers and their support. I ask you to continue prayers. I'm thankful that y'all have the way you've responded in faithfulness to the Lord in how you supported us. And especially, I think we'd both like to say that we're thankful the way you've received this back. And I felt just a love and an acceptance and appreciation. And we're thankful for that. And we're thankful that we come back and that we you just took us right in and just put your arms around us and told us that you loved us. And we appreciate that much. And may God richly bless everyone.
Amen.